Blog Talk Radio. right, all right, all right, all right.
Shalom and good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. Matter of fact, today marks our 984th episode that we were doing Blog Talk. Started almost 12 years ago. So again, welcome to our show as we go ahead and produce another here from Albuquerque, New Mexico. As you know, the ISBHBK has schools located in San Antonio at 4444 Walsham Road, suite number 201, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, being location in San Antonio. We have classes there every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then again on Saturday for the Sabbath ceremony, starting at 10 a.m. If you happen to be in the San Antonio area and let us check us out and meet us there, please feel free to do so. We also have a school located in Houston, Texas, and I'm about to get all these addresses down. Now, I've been having a brother, Gabar Kawa, assisting me on that, but he's actually back to San Antonio right now, and I forgot to go ahead and get the addresses. But we do have a school located in Houston, Texas, in the Houston area. We also have a school located in Virginia, Northern Virginia, and also a school located in Rochester, New York, as far as the ISBHBK family of schools is concerned. And then, as you know, there's Hebrew Israelites all over the country, all over the world, helping to wake up the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel, helping to wake Israel up. I don't have a lot of time tonight, so I kind of want to get into it. This is going to be part 9 of a series that was started entitled Taking the Lord's Name in Vain. And we're going to pick up on that. If you haven't caught any of the rest of the series, as briefly as I possibly can, as I have, I'm brother, join my brother, you know what's on. Give me a St. John chapter 4, verse 24. All right, give me St. John in the King James Bible, chapter 4, St. John chapter 4, verse 24. So as we're about to read the scripture here, we know that that one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For all that do so should not be held guiltless. So we've been taught from our journeys here in America, while living here in America, under the American religious systems, the American oppression, and American colonizing by so-called white people, that to take the name of the Lord God in vain is by using specifically the word goddamn. Now, if you say the word goddamn, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain, and you're going straight to hell. According to what, since the so-called white man arrived, either as the Pilgrims, the Quakers, the Irish, we came as the Spanish, it was Catholicism, or any of his religion that he's brought to the Americas and indoctrinated our people with very heavily, that to say goddamn is to take the name of the Lord in vain. But as I was meditating on this, as we were going through scriptures, nowhere can you find that the four-letter words that are used, you can't find them anywhere in the Bible. As far as being using those words with the name of God would damn you forever, would have you cursed forever. And we've been going over examples really of just how brainwashed and how Bible ignorant we have become. So again, since the arrival of a so-called white man in 1492 with Christopher Columbus, we've been taught nothing but lies when it comes to what is righteousness and what is blasphemy and what is profanity when it comes to the God of the Bible, when it comes to the Lord God of Israel. So you have a lot of people in this really, as false and as fake mentality that because I don't use four-letter words, can you get this? I don't know what's going on. I want to get the East Florida.
Hello, 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 hello. All right. hold on, everybody, hold on.
Suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold.
Having technical difficulties. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. All right, let's get into the right spirit. All right. All praises, first and foremost, to the Most High, in the name of Christ, to Yahweh, by assuming Yahweh Shai. The one Yahweh for giving us this day, that we may be able to dive deeply into your word and get understanding, so that we might do the things that please you, that we might do the things acceptable for salvation, that we might be found doing good works according to your standard, according to your righteousness, according to what you left us in your holy word called the Bible. Father, forgive us for all of our transgressions. Forgive us for all of our ignorant aggressions, frustrations, and wrathfulness, Father. Forgive us for any slanders that might have been done. And please forgive us, Father. Please continue to show your continued long-suffering and mercy towards us in these times, Father, and please come and save us quick, as you even had recorded of one of your holy prophets, that daily as we're around the wicked, as daily we're around those who do not uphold your word and whose imagination only seeks after what pleases them and not pleasing you, Father, how it vexes the souls of the righteous. And not that I'm calling myself a righteous man, Father, but that I'm striving to be. For we know that your Son told us that there's none good except thou, which art in heaven, O Heavenly Father. So, Father, I say this prayer to you right now as we get ready to go back into this class. Again, to forgive me, and that this class is not for any vainglory. It's not for me to be glorified in, but that we might help direct and might help guide your people back to the true path of righteousness, as recorded in the 23rd Psalms, that you lead us to the path of righteousness for your name's sake, that we might be doing your righteousness and doing things in your name. So, your Heavenly Father, all praise to you and to your Son, Yahweh Shai, our Lord and Savior, our King. Thank you, Father. Thank you, the water, our Mom. All right, so now... And trying to get this class back together. Tonight is the Sabbath night at sunset. For some people on the East Coast, the sun's already set. As we're here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, it's just past 7 o'clock. The sun is not set yet, but we know as soon as the sun does set, we will be in the Lord's Sabbath, the Lord's seven-day Sabbath. And that's why one reason we wanted to go ahead and get this class out tonight. So we might do those things that please the Lord, that we might do those things that please the Father. From Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, a scripture I like to quote a lot, it says that when our ways please the Lord, he'll make our enemies to be at peace with us. So that we want to make sure that we're found doing the Lord's righteousness and not our own righteousness. We want to make sure that we study to show ourselves approved of the Lord, a word we need is not to be ashamed, but that we are rightly dividing the word of truth, and that our work and the work of our hands will be acceptable in the eyes of the Father. So again, but all that being said, with all that being said, this is again to give a recap on the purpose of this class. It's not for my vainglory. It's not for me glory seeking it at all. But the third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And for what we've been taught since the so-called white man first landed in 1492 with Christopher Columbus here in the Americas, we've been taught that to say the words God damn is to take the name of the Lord God in vain. And to where you have mothers will slap their kids, they'll pinch their kids, there'll be some type of repercussion because the term God damn was used. But as we study to show ourselves approved unto the Father, going back and looking through the scriptures, nowhere did it say that using the four, as we've come to know here in these 2022, that using four-letter words is taking the name of the God in vain. But particularly the first one, you go back to our very first episode of this series, God damn, taking the name of the Lord, that God in vain, that we've been taught with such a heavy, false, fake, religious mindset that I'm going to heaven because I don't use four-letter words. That God is pleased with me because I don't listen to any layman music. But we're going back to the 1950s. I don't listen to any R&B blues. I don't listen to any rock and roll. I don't listen to any Elvis because that's layman music. That all I do is listen to Christian gospel music. And because that's all I listen to, that's getting me into heaven. I listen to gospel music. I don't curse. And that's what makes me a good person. And then when I die and I'm at my funeral, people will be able to say, he was a God-fearing man because he never cussed, because he didn't drink. And even just one of those falsehoods, that drinking is a sin, what was Jesus Christ's first miracle in the Bible? Jesus
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
Run to every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga, we're back.
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them.
Yep.
Yeah. They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin?
All right, let's try this one more time. Let me try this. All right, hello, 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 hello. All
I'm not ashamed to say my hood, you hear sirens and semis pop. Judah keep vexing Ephraim, when will the envy stop? No love for any cops, that's what got Kenny shot. Y'all drinking Henny shots, I'm investing in penny stocks. They give me props. Rapping, teaching, debating, unity, while Satan trying to weaken the nation. Cops in my community, kill us with every opportunity. No justice or peace, the police get immunity. Look, rubber bullets and riot suits when they gear up. Asking where the love went, cause judgment is near us. And kids rather pour up a foe and sip the syrup than learn about how the black Moors ruled in Europe. We divided by economic material schisms. My people are serial victims of imperialism. I tell the truth in the booth, boy, my pen no lie. They love the Hebrew Israelites after N-O-I. Let's pray. I pray. Abba Naba Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, because in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped with from out of hide. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai. Can't feed the flesh, don't need the stress, so I fast and I rest instead. Cold sweats in the bath, trying to grasp as I sat in bed. In my dream I had a twin, he stabbed me to death and fled. Visions of a failed horse and a dragon with seven heads. Vagabond, Babylon, being watched by the Lord. Can't even stop by the store, cause on my block it's a war. Jehovah Witnesses don't even knock at my door, cause they know they false doctrine will get chopped by my sword. Yeah, I'm with the lyrical or the spiritual murder play. I see some ravenous wolves leading the herd astray. My homie's mom's a tweaker, I watch him survey. I'm numb to this game and the pain, I'm an invertebrate. When the Messiah comes, serve, we gon' witness the sun purge. He coming back to judge every idle and dumb word. My team always moving in silence, we unheard. The elite wanna converge on the elect and the one-third. I pray, Abba Naba Yahweh rise. I pray for your grace and everything that you shall provide. I pray every day that you teach me how to strive to put my trust in you, cause in you is where the power lies. My people are dead and pumped will come out of hide. I pray every day no excuses or alibis. I pray that every last one of these cowards die. I pray all of this in the name of Yahweh Shai.
I pray and sing to the Lord a new song. Sing praise in the assembly of the righteous. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praise of God be on the mouths of the saints and a two-edged sword in their hands.
All right, I'm trying to get back into this again. Check. For you, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to use my tablet. The show keeps ending. The broadcast keeps clicking off, and I'm not quite sure why. So, continue to move on. In St. John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, God is a spirit, and those that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? What is the truth? Should be the next question a person asks. What is the truth of God?
St. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Hello, hello, hello. We're going to try this one more time. All right, we're going to try this one more time. We keep getting kicked off the internet. We keep having changes or whatever. And we keep getting kicked off the broadcast. So I'm going to continue the best I can with this. I'm not even sure what the last scripture anybody might have heard or came across. So just to hit this up one more time, and then we're going to dive in. Give me St. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 again. The whole St. John 17, 17.
John chapter 4, verse 24.
Verse 23 first.
St. John chapter 4, verse 23. For the hour cometh, and now is. The true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
We know that, so Christ is telling us here that the hour is going to come when the true worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father, the Most High God, is looking for who's going to worship him in truth. Not in their true feelings, but what God considers to be the truth. Now, what a logical person would do is, well, what is the truth then? So let's let Christ answer that question. Now let's go to St. John chapter 17, verse 17, and let's let Christ answer the question about
St. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth.
Now, the word sanctify means to cleanse and to wash. So if we're listening to what this is a prayer that Christ was praying to the Father for the disciples, for the students of Christ. So he's asking the Father to sanctify them. Go ahead.
Through thy truth.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify the disciples, the true followers of Christ. Sanctify them through thy truth. Read on. God's word is the truth. And we're going to find out that from the religion, whatever religion you might be a partaker of, since 1492 until today, they've all been man-made. They have not been following the scriptures. They have not been following God's righteousness. So when we're dealing with this profanity, let's go to Leviticus chapter 20. And we're going to read the whole chapter. Leviticus chapter 20 and chapter 21. That's chapter 21. We'll just go straight there. Nope, we're going to go to Leviticus 19 and 12 first. We're going to do that. For those that are hopefully you're following along, what we want to do right now is, again, going over this full nine-part series, and it's a ninth part now in the series, about what it means to take the name of God in vain. And because of religion, we believe, we've been taught that four-letter words is vulgar, is satanic, is devilish. We've been talking that that's evil communication and that saying the term goddamn, that will send you straight to hell and that you'll never be forgiven for that. But when we go through the scriptures, we obviously that can't be true. That perception of what the word goddamn means or to take God's name in vain has been a total lie when it comes to the scriptures. And even what profanity is, that today's use of the word profanity or profane has absolutely nothing to do with God's description of what profanity is, of what God's description and what God calls profane and profanity has nothing to do with the four-letter words. And I'm only doing it now because I'm tired of people tripping right now by me using four-letter words. But if I use them, they will be used throughout this broadcast. I'm going to tell you that right now. But we're going to get into what God calls profane. So just, it's funny. People will, because of the use of four-letter words, it'll get a quote-unquote R rating. It'll get a quote-unquote X rating. It'll got to cover the ears of the kids because of how much it's been stressed that four-letter words are profanity. But when we actually go into the Bible and see what God calls profane, this is the current American lifestyle. Everything about the current American lifestyle, you want to be a good American, you want to make America great again, everything about America is profane and profanity in the ears and eyes of God, everything. So you're talking about civil rights and civil liberty and the pursuit of freedom, freedom of religion here in America. There's a lot of the whole American doctrine is profanity in the ears of God. But you'll listen to that as we'll go through this list of things that God calls profane. And I'll probably get censored. I'll probably have people turn the show off, which right now I could give a damn. You've been brainwashed. And Christ made a prayer to God that Christ's disciples would sanctify people through the truth, through God's word. So if you've just been so heavily indoctrinated, current American system, in whatever religion is you're worshiping, what I'm about to go over is going to offend you very deeply. But we're not worried about that because Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. So as we're actually reading from the Bible, if you keep find yourself getting offended, you find yourself getting mad, angry, saucy, crunchy, remember, we're reading the Bible. And for what you call profanity, what you call profane, please have your fake-ass preacher, reverend, priest, whoever, please show in the Bible where the words damn, fuck, shit, hell is profanity. Whatever. Come and show, give me the scripture, text me the scripture where those words are profane. As we're about to go through this list of things that God calls profane. So Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12 is where we're going to start at. Read that, please.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord.
All right. This is pretty simple. One time from the top, we're going to break it down.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord.
Okay. So now, we're not supposed to profane the name of the Lord, our God. Got that. Now, let's go get what things that God says. Okay.
Okay.
I guess there will be an episode 10 to this, but I need to find that scripture real quick. So we just read Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. I'm asking the brother Nelson, I'll read that again.
Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12. And that ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord.
Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21. Now, if we just read that one scripture, you might think that, again, from what you've been taught in religion about swearing, that's saying the name of the Lord God in vain. And it's funny how you would get that, because In most churches, they don't even teach the Old Testament. In most churches, you're taught that the Old Testament's done away with, and now we're living under the New Covenant, where somehow that means just the New Testament. And many people are given a Bible that has this, the New Testament, Matthew through Revelations, and then it might have Psalms and Proverbs. And for the most part, you're taught that the law is done away with, that we're no longer living under that no more, and that all you got to do is just be a good Christian, just be a good person. But the scriptures tells us, when we read Psalms chapter 119, verse 104, it says that through God's precepts, we get understanding. That we had to put the precepts together through the Bible if we want to get God's understanding. Now, we just read, if we only read the one scripture, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, it says, don't swear by the name of the Lord thy God, for in doing so, you take his name in vain. But now let's get another scripture to help try and back this up. Because remember, the God of the Bible says prove all things. That's how the God of the Bible operates. That if you say that God says something or God is about something, you should be able to go into the Bible and prove it. Then the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is also a believer in you must have two or three witnesses. That you, you must have two or three witnesses to back up any statement. The truth can be verified. A word that's used today is fact check. Obviously, he didn't use the word fact check, but you should be able to go into the Bible and find it in two or three places to help prove your point. Not just get one scripture and run with it, and that you got the understanding about what it means not to take the name of the Lord God in vain and not to swear. So now we're going to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21.
Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of the seed pass through the fire to Molech.
All right, so it says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass where?
Through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God.
So here we're finding an example, and as we're about to go into this, of what God calls profane. If the Israelites had sacrificed any of their children to the fire of Molech, that would be taking the name of God in vain. Now, when you go do some research on Molech, and I'm going to put a whole class together about this, but in a nutshell, and the reason it was such a huge practice, you might be familiar with the eternal search for the fountain of youth. That is ancient. It goes back to ancient times of trying to find the fountain of youth, trying to find the key to eternal life, trying to find the key to be able to live forever, or to turn back the hands of time. That's something mankind has been in search of for the longest of time. I mean, going back to ancient times. We know that when after the Most High. There's a lot of Bible history I'm about to cover in just a very brief surmising right now. When, after Noah was saved from the flood on the ark, and he saved two of every unclean animal and seven of every clean animal. Now, I know because a lot of people have been raised up in religion, you have been under the perception that Noah only saved two of every animal on the ark. But when you actually go and read the scriptures, as you read the Bible, it tells you that Noah saved animals that were considered clean in the eyes of God, meaning clean to eat. He saved them by the number of seven. Let me get that real quick.
Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1.
Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house unto the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his
female.
So here God is saying, if I'm building the ark, that Noah was going to take the clean animals by sevens and going to take the unclean animals by twos, okay? By sevens because while Noah was on the ark, they had to, him and his family had to eat, all right? There had to be food to eat, flesh to eat. Now, upon coming out of the ark, that was Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, where we see that Noah was commanded to take clean animals by sevens and unclean animals by two. We're going to jump forward a little bit now. Go to Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 1.
Verse 1.
And I know what I'm going over right now for a lot of people might be mind-blowing because of what you've heard through religion, what you've seen in through Hollywood movies and TV and media, that no one can tell you that Noah did not take the animals by twos. But that these are the deceptions you've been spoon-fed since infancy. These are the lies that we've been spoon-fed since the arrival of Christopher Columbus and the colonizers to the Americas. We've been fed their lies. So now, in further proving these points, now we're going to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 1.
Right.
And God blessed Noah and his sons. And said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things.
Now, even with the herbs, obviously this, and that's the whole class we're going to, you cannot consume every herb. If you consume every herb, just like you wouldn't go and eat poison ivy, even though it's an herb. There's some mushrooms you can't eat. There's berries that koala bears can eat that no one else can eat because of how toxic they are. So, just like there's a differentiating between what herbs can be eaten, there's also a differentiating between what animals could be ate. We know that's true because Noah had already brought the clean animals in by sevens two chapters earlier. But let's read on.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things.
Right.
Verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
So we're not, by God, going all the way back to the days of Noah, we're not supposed to eat any flesh that's raw. And again, from following white Edomite European cuisine, we've been taught that the best meat is raw, medium rare, a steak tartare. But God specifically said right here, if we read the Bible and did not just listen to religion, if we read the Bible and was not just spoon-fed religion, that when we eat meat, read that again, tell what verse you're in. That's Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, I believe you're right.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
Go ahead.
And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast I will require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man.
Now, let's go to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11.
Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Let's start at verse 10.
Leviticus chapter 17, verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, will I even set my face against that soul. that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people.
All right, so we're seeing here, and I'm sure how this relates to the worship of Molech and how it's profane. This is true profanity in the eyes of God. But we have to understand how God feels about people that eat blood. Whether it's a bloody steak, a medium rare steak, or as we're going to go further into it, that the blood, we're not supposed to eat. We're not supposed to deal with blood. That includes blood sausage. That includes what have you. But reading on.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, right?
And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
So the blood is where the life is at, as we read in Genesis chapter 9. And here we're reading about how important blood is. Again, re-edifying the point that the life of a person is in the blood. When we go back now to Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21.
Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech.
Molech was an Ammonite god where you would sacrifice children to this god. And when you would sacrifice these children to this god, you would take the blood of these sacrificed children and you would inject it. The whole kind of notion about vampires drinking blood for life. The fountain of youth. Why is it called the youth? Where's it coming from? The youth. You would sacrifice, that if we sacrifice our children in a desire to want to stay young, that when you terrorize children, there's a chemical called the adrenaline. That triggers the fight or flight mechanism in everybody. And that adrenaline gives you that energy that you need, that boost that you need. By terrifying these children and having that adrenal gland and the adrenals pumping so much through their blood, the hormone being released through their blood, then you would take that blood and you would consume it. That this would, it would give you energy. It would give you power. It would give you a youthful feeling, no different than caffeine would, no different than cocaine would, no different than a Red Bull would give you energy. That by consuming the blood of these children, it will revitalize you. This is why you see where today it's hit under things like stem cell research. Today it's hit under things like plasma blood giving centers. And this is, I'm going to go into this whole class about Molech and everything. But when you hear things in the news about Pizzagate, when you hear things in the news about adrenochrome, that these are what the elites of Hollywood use to keep that youthful look, to keep that, like one celebrity I just noticed recently was Meryl Streep. Now, Meryl Streep's supposed to be 72 years old. A 72-year-old is not supposed to have energy like that. But you can look at her. She's flawless. There's no wrinkles. There's no sign of age. She looks like she could never be in her 40s. But again, this is going back to these type of sacrifices and why you find so many children missing. Children missing from, the sister Malachi was letting me know, and I'm going to put this research together. How many children be missing from Walt Disney, from Disneyland, from Disney World, never to be found? Not just on milk cartons, but, and then the Native Americans, the epidemic of missing children. The epidemic of missing children across America. The sex trafficking, and were some of the things that are taking place. That these are ancient rituals that have not stopped. When you come back and you read about, or you hear about the sacrificing of young virgins. Why was it important to get a young virgin who never had sex before? Because there have been certain chemicals that never been released into her body. So that now you keep that youthful feeling, that youthful energizing and life-giving resource. So I'm make a full class about that. But again, now reading Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21. If you read that one more time, please.
Leviticus chapter 18, the verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech.
To Molech, to the worship of Molech. Go ahead.
Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God.
Because in doing so, what are we doing? We're profaning the name of our God. The name of, you know, the God who is the God of life and death. The God who, before sin entered, let us make man in our image. That we were supposed to be living eternal lives. But the wages of sin is what? Death. So now to go above God, to worship another God, that I'm not going to have God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Noah, I'm not going to have him control my life. So if I want to live forever, I found a way that I might be able to live forever, that I might be able to continue past the boundaries that God has given. No different than you see the modern-day cryogenics programs that are only exclusive to rich people, the elite, I'll say like more specifically, that the cryogenics is able to do what? Preserve their bodies until the technology is found that they can bring their souls back and put them into those bodies. We see in the movie Get Out of trying to be able to take to do a brain transplant or a soul transplant of an old elite colonizer, take his spirit, take his brain out of his decrepit dying body and put it into a youthful body. We see it in the movies and stuff like this, but these were the actual ancient rituals that they were trying to do as far as even the study, the worship of Molech. It wasn't just about killing kids. It was about harvesting their plasma, about harvesting that blood. It was about harvesting the hormones that would be pumped into that blood when you terrorize them. So that now you can get a hold of that and get that life energy feeling euphoria. This goes directly to what the worshiping of Molech was all about. But because we don't read and study, that's foreign to us. But that's something that God called profane. And that by doing so, you profane his name. That now he's not the God of life and death. Now you can control life and death. Now you can be in control of your own destiny. Now you are responsible for your own happiness and for your own life. That you can take life by the horns and you can do what you want and not have to worry about death, retribution, or revenge because you will be able to live forever. Today's modern day transplant, if it's an eye transplant, if it's a liver transplant, a kidney transplant, a heart transplant, actual transplants, transplanting limbs, human limbs from one human to another. We know that Hitler and his scientists in Nazi Germany were responsible for that research for us that is being used today to give so that people could live forever. That if you have eyes are going bad, not a problem. Have an eye transplant. Your hearing is going, not a problem. Have a hearing transplant. Your heart's going bad, have a heart transplant. Kidneys go bad, have a kidney transplant. Liver's going bad, have a liver transplant. That you can keep living forever. To defy God, to defy what God's doing. These are the practice, one of the practices that a person would be calibrated to, and that would be profaning the ears of God. That's profaning. So that got nothing to do with fuck, shit, damn, hell, motherfucker. That got nothing to do with those things and those terms. But to be sacrificing your children, say you can live longer. That's profane in the eyes of God. That God calls that profanity. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 20, 21. We'll just start from there and read down.
Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 21.
Yep.
And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall be there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. But for his kin that is near unto him, that is for his mother and for his father and for his son and for his daughter and for his brother, for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her may he be defiled.
And the defiled here is not talking about you had sex with them. The defiled here is that if they died, then the high priest could attend their funeral. Okay? And it was important that the high priest stay, quote unquote, clean. And this goes to a whole other ritual of things. As briefly as I can say this, when a person is considered unclean, and there's many things in the Bible when we read the law, the Torah, that will make a person unclean. When a person is unclean, then they would be quarantined, if you will, away from the rest of Israel. They would be given time away to themselves. It wasn't a punishment. Well, unless it was in the case of leprosy, then it would be. But say, for instance, a woman was on her monthly cycle. She would be considered unclean. Doesn't mean that she was now sick. Doesn't mean that now she was a monster. Doesn't mean that now she was a Medusa type of creature, if you will. But she would be considered unclean, and that meant that you didn't task her with any type of task. That she's unclean. She's on her cycle. So no, you wouldn't be asking her to guide the house. You wouldn't be asking her to cook any food. You wouldn't be asking her to have to wash the children. That for this time that she's unclean, she's supposed to be resting, separated from any type of responsibilities, separated from any type of duties. That in this case here, she'd be separated for that amount of time to give her time to rest. It didn't mean that she was diseased. It didn't mean that she was inferior. She was just given that time to go rest. And in that type of case of being unclean. In this case, we're reading about Leviticus 21 now. If a high priest had a close near relative pass away, then this high priest could attend that wedding or that funeral. And he could be given that time to mourn. He'd be given that time to go ahead and now deal with the passing away of a loved one. You wouldn't expect him now that he would have to be there to now have to regulate every one of the high holy commissions or every one of his duties as the high priest. That wouldn't be fair. And God is a God of justice. So it's saying that the high priest, because also of his job and responsibility, that he couldn't just be unclean for anybody. That now he's going to be separated and given time to mourn because he has the whole nation he has to deal with. He has a whole nation he's responsible for. But the ones that he can be separated for, where you wouldn't task him with any type of job or any type of responsibilities, is if a close relative died. Then he'd be given the time to go and mourn them, and that'd be given him responsibilities. Can we read on?
All right. Leviticus chapter 21, verse 4. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself.
Again, to what? Profane himself. Now, if he got so heartbroken at the funeral of somebody that wasn't in this list, guess what he just made himself in the eyes of God? He just made himself profane because he's the go-between between the nation of Israel and himself. And now this man is going crazy and not able to regulate his job properly because he's so caught up into the death of these other people and not thinking about his job and his duty. Reading on.
Verse 5, they shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard.
Now, one of the customs of the heathen was when somebody died, like in Hawaii, if someone died, they would shave their heads and they would bash out their front teeth. I don't know why they do it, because once you did it once, it was done. But they would shave their heads, and they would bash out their front teeth as a sign of how they felt about somebody dying. Here the Father said, you don't do that type of ritual. You don't do that. Reading on.
Neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh.
And this is where you get the tribal tattoos. Again, that is nowhere in the South Pacific Island. Among Tahitians, Hawaiians, Tongans, Samoans, the whole tribal tattoo. That tribal is representing your tribe and the passing or death of a loved one. So the one thing that they would do is they would shave part of their heads, bash out their front teeth, and then they would get a tattoo of a tribal to remember what tribe they were from, remember the lineage of their people. God said, this is not the thing that the priest will do when it comes to a funeral. Not just the priest, the Israelites. To do so, guess what you just did? You just made yourself profane in the eyes of God. Whenever, if you get a tattoo, that's like saying the word motherfucker. You goddamn motherfucker. Would be equivalent, if you get a tattoo, that is filthy in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter if you got a tattoo of a scripture. You are now filthy and profane in the eyes of God. Let's keep reading.
Verse 6, they shall be holy unto their God.
They should be holy. And we know one of the definitions of holy means separate. That the priest had to be separate unto the Lord our God, the Lord their God. They couldn't do the rituals of the other nations. We had our own rituals among the Israelites, given to us by God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Reading on.
And not profane the name of their God.
By doing these practices, what would they be doing? Profaning the name of their God. That got nothing to do with goddamn. That got nothing to do with cursing or swearing. Let's keep reading.
For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God, they do offer. Therefore, they shall be holy.
So the offer, remember the we're going to continue. I got 15 minutes left anyway. Let's see.
Verse 7.
We're in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 7.
They shall not take a wife that is a whore.
So, another thing that a priest should do to make themselves profane in the eyes of God is that they did what? It's what verse are you in?
Leviticus chapter 21, verse 7. They shall not take a wife that is a whore.
Because what were some of the sex practices of the other religions, of the other nations, of the other gods? Sex magic. Temple prostitution. What would be modern-day temple prostitution? The same ritual, the same thing that's done at a strip club, dancing on the pole, having money thrown at you, making it rain, and having a patron take you to the champagne room. All those are direct lines of worship that was given to the goddess Baal-peor and Ashtoreth. The same Ashtoreth that is known for the Playboy Bunny. The same Ashtoreth that's known for her, all her breasts, that in some Assyrian cultures, her name was Easter, where you get the whole name of Easter, the Easter Sunday celebration or ritual name celebration, is derived from. That you would, in worshiping the goddess Ashtoreth or worshiping the goddess Easter, there would be a pole set up. And a woman would have to dance on this pole and seduce a patron. The patron would be sitting around in chairs, and a lot of chairs would have butt plugs as this man sat in his chair, massaging his prostate. While she's gyrating and doing all these type of things on the pole, she would have to get him to take her, and this was for a daughter, a mother, whoever, a female that was worshiping the goddess Ashtoreth. She would only be freed from her service, but she would have fulfilled her service, her worship to the goddess Ashtoreth, as if this man took her to the champagne room, what we know as the champagne room, or to the side, and had sex with her. Then she'd be freed from her worship of Ashtoreth, whether she had a husband or not, whether she was young or not. And she would be a whore. That type of ritual, that type of a procedure of I'm in love with a stripper, I found love, girls, all that is against God and how he wanted the priest to worship him in having these sex orgies at midnight, where you would, we'll get into it later on. But a priest of God cannot marry a whore because, again, these were the things, these were the practices that were practiced among the nations that God said, no, the Hebrew Israelite priests don't do that. We're not dealing with temple prostitution. Reading on.
Leviticus 21, verse 7.
Yeah, read the whole verse.
They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane.
Now, what is a whore? Is a woman that's profane. That is off. Read.
Neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband.
Neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband. No wife swapping. No threesomes. No swinging. These were some of the practices that the nations around us practiced. That's not how we were supposed to get down. The Lord told us in the law, I'm not going to be able to find it right now, but he told us in the law that if a man marries a woman, they just can't get along, and he divorces her, and she goes and marries somebody else. Now, biblical marriage is she goes and has sex with somebody else after there's been a formal separation between these two. A formal divorce between this husband and this wife is done, and now she goes and marries another man. If things don't work out with that other man, it says she cannot return back to her original husband. That is wickedness. So this thing of wife swapping, this thing of swinging, that is wicked and profane. That's profanity in the eyes of God. That's not girls of being girls. That's not consensual sex. That's not having an entanglement. That's not I don't even know what excuse a man would use today. That's not the husband sitting in the closet watching his wife get done by 3, 4, 5 men. He's in there pleasuring himself, and he comes out after she's been covered in protein, and now they have just an open relationship? No. This is not, these are none of the practices God was going to allow from his priests. Reading on.
For he is holy unto his God.
That?
Verse 8. Thou shalt sanctify him, therefore.
So the priest had to be cleansed. Read.
For he offered the bread of thy God.
Go ahead.
And he shall be holy unto thee. For I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy.
So, just like God is holy and separate, the priest was supposed to be separate. The Lord God of Israel was separate from all the other gods. So we come up with the most insane things, like, well, I think that the way that people over here worship God in this country or this nation, that the way the Koreans worship God and the way that the Chinese worship God and the way that the Ethiopians worship God, the way we worship God, they're really just all the same, but we just have different names for them. So really we should be just all one anyway, just accepting everything. That's profane. That's profanity in the eyes, in the ears and eyes of God. How can God be the Most High, but we're all just really just one? How can God be the Most High, the God of God, King of Kings, but in your mentality, we're all just one? It's all equal to each his own? That mentality is profanity in the ears and eyes of God. He's separate. He's holy. And he expected his priests to be separate and holy. Separate from, you don't do things the other nations do. Last scripture for tonight. Real quick. Let's get Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26.
Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy.
Start at 25.
Leviticus chapter 20, verse 25. Ye shall therefore put differences between clean beasts and unclean.
When did God command the Israelites? We're supposed to put difference between clean beasts and unclean beasts. Again, you're down in Hawaii. And what are they known for? The luau. And what's in that damn luau? What's buried in the sand on the top of the rock? Our rocks? A big-ass pig. A sow. Stuffed with fruit and whatever else is stuffed in it. That's not... No. That's not a feast that God accepts. You go to certain parts of India, the Istans or whatever, and they got a big-ass cobra that then is stuffed with other snakes. And then to cook that damn thing, that's not nothing God wanted his people to be part of, partaker of. Escargot? Eating snails? Hell no. Fuck no. Eating octopus? Eating catfish? Oysters on a half shell? An oyster defecates in its own shell. And you don't let some European tell you that that's an aphrodisiac? That that's supposed to get you in a lovemaking? What kind of lovemaking are you getting into when you just follow some dude? How nasty are you about to get? How inordinate are you about to become? If that practice is a part of your lifestyle based on it's the aphrodisiac. These are none of the things that God wanted his people involved with, that he wants his people involved with today. So read that verse again, verse 25.
Chapter 20, verse 25. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beasts.
By these beasts. Is it these beasts or by beasts?
By beasts.
So you can make your soul an abomination by what you eat. Because you develop a craving for it. You develop a craving for this type of food. You make your soul an abomination. Something hated. Something profane in the eyes of God. Reading on.
Or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground.
Read.
Which I have separated from you as unclean.
Reading on.
Verse 26. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy.
So the Israelites are supposed to be separate unto God, because God is separate from the rest of the world. the things they eat, the things they do, let them do it. I wanted y'all separate from those things. Not just if you can't beat them, join them. Now we're all, I like to get the world to drink in perfect harmony. I like to buy a world of Coke and keep company. Hell no. God separated the Israelites from any other practices, lifestyles, rituals of any of the other nations. Read.
And have severed you from other people.
And what did God do with the Israelites?
Have severed you from other people.
I have severed you from other people. What does it mean to say if you sever your arm from your body, what is it? You cut it off. God has severed the Israelites from other people. Read. That we should be belong only to God. Read.
Verse 27. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit.
Okay, we'll end it right there. We'll end it right there. So with that, again, forgive all the technical interruptions that did take place tonight. I'll probably revisit this topic because we need to get through all of Leviticus chapter 21. All right, we're going to get through all of Leviticus 21. We could really start at 20. We could start at 19 and read all the way through the rest of Leviticus, but we want to specifically go to Leviticus chapter 13 too and chapter 11. We might be in Leviticus for a minute and getting some of the acts, some of the lifestyle choices the person gets into of what God calls profane. Okay? So with that, Brother Yanalta, I want to appreciate you for helping out tonight. Thank you. And that was a struggle that we muscled through. Anything you want to say, add, or what have you?
The Levites, this is for all the tribes to stay out of that.
True, very true.
Threshold. Don't step into that threshold, cross that door.
All right, so with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. And again, I will probably visit this probably on Sunday. Most likely, I will revisit this and be a lot clearer, a lot more organized business on Sunday. So with that, my name is Machado.
You know what's on?
And we would like to say shalom.
Shalom.